you, Tim. You may be seated. And the child is excused, and she's run ahead of the teachers. She's laying in wait for them. I'm glad we've got folks who like to teach children. Actually, it's an investment. Now, that was quite a group we had up here this morning. Now, I think Tim invited anybody else who can sing to come up and join them. There's not going to be much congregation left if we take many more people up here, okay? A.B., Nancy, and Ed will be able to listen from back there. You know, the Lord prepares people to go into the pastorate. He calls pastors. He has called every one of you to some service for Him. But He calls pastors, and He also gives them experience that they can share with people so that you, as His servant, are better prepared to serve. Every one of us is to be a servant. No one is to sit around or retire from God's service. He has something for you to do. And I want to share a story with you this morning. It's a true story because it took place. It's in the Bible. And you've read it. You're familiar with it. But I want to use that as an illustration for the message this morning. So if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read this story. It starts at verse 22 and goes all the way through verse 23. We're going to read it together. And then we're going to maybe do a little more examining of it and see what the lesson is for each of us. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up unto a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You know, I like reading about Peter because Peter was a lot like me. Peter enjoyed, one of his favorite things to eat was toe jam because he kept his foot in his mouth all the time. And from time to time, I've been known to put my foot in the mouth. Now, that all changed after the day of Pentecost. And we all talk about Jesus walking on the water. We might even talk about Peter walking on the water for a few seconds. But there's something here that we need to look into. This is an important lesson for every Christian to make an application thereof. Now, we cannot inquire from anyone who was there when Jesus walked on the water. And as far as I know, no one ever discussed with anyone else about how Peter acted. So we're going to have to do a little speculating about what might have happened. And we will draw our own conclusions from our own life experiences. I know that none of us have ever walked on the water. There's been occasions when probably some of you tried. There was an occasion when I was holding a boat up to an island so that ladies could go into the woods and change clothes, and we were all going to go swimming out in the lake. And I turned around and looked, and there was a water moccasin swimming up to me. To be truthful with you, I don't know how I got in the boat. But the next thing I knew, I was in the boat. Okay. And it may have been a little bit like that with Peter, I don't know. Peter called out to Christ. And I know that none of us, like I said, have ever walked on the water, but we have all done exactly the same thing that Peter did. And the results were very similar. All of us have. So let's see if we can learn anything that will be of benefit to us from this story about Jesus. We start by realizing that Jesus was doing something supernatural. On our own, we're not capable of doing anything supernatural. We are human beings. We are fallible. We are imperfect. God will be the one to supply power for us to do something unusual if we do so. Quite frankly, I don't know why Peter didn't just wait for Jesus to come to the boat. I do not know why Peter called out to Jesus to let him come to him on the water. Peter almost went to heaven because of his request to Jesus. A question in my mind is, why did Peter ask Jesus to make it possible for him to walk on the water? Was it a test of supernatural power? Or was it just pride? Peter wanted to be the only other one in the world to walk on the water. What purpose do you think that Peter had for wanting to walk on the water? Have you ever thought about it? Remember that he was a fisherman, and perhaps he just wanted to get closer to where Jesus was or to where the fish were. I don't know, but he had to have a purpose. Now, do you think that Peter jumped out of the boat? Or do you think he climbed down a ladder carefully to where the water was? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. When his feet hit the water, was it solid or did it give a little bit? Was it like jumping onto a concrete slab? Did he take baby steps on the water? Or did he just start out striding, walking on the water? One thing that we do know, and it happens to be actually the most important part of this true story. The thing we know is that Peter took his eyes off from Jesus. That's what we know. We know that for sure. And the moment that he did that, he began to founder. Now, I know that you and I have never tried to walk on the water, at least not that we would tell anybody about. But we've never tried to walk on the water unless it was frozen, okay? We've managed to do that. Some of us have managed to do that. And yet, our lives are a little like walking on water. If we go about life the wrong way, and we don't live it the way that God wants us to live it, we might be overcome by life. And people, that happens to people all the time. They try walking on the water of life. And because they don't go about it God's way or in the power of God, they founder and they fail. If we were to do the same, we might be drowned by it. I've seen many people who have been overcome by the issues of life. And sometimes we even give them a name. We call them losers. Oh, he's a loser. Oh, she's a loser. I really believe that the last 4 weeks of my life have been the most difficult in my life. As I cared for the mate, the partner that God loaned to me. If you want to experience deep waters, those are deeper than any of us will ever find. Some of you have been through them. And I can now understand what you have experienced. And hopefully that will make me a better pastor. For a little while, I took my eyes off the Lord, as you may have, and I looked at me, and I foundered. Like Peter, I started to sink, but the Lord was there to rescue me. As he will be there to rescue you if you go through the same experience. Peter began to sink into the sea that he had been walking on a minute before. He called out to the only one who could save him. He called out to Jesus. And when we become overcome by life, we need to call out to Jesus or to God or to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives within you. He is there. God is there for you before you ever call. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, God is in you in order to provide for you, to meet the needs. When you call out to them, they do what is appropriate for the moment, for the circumstance. It's when we take our eyes off from our Lord, our Savior, that we begin to sink in the mire we call life, and we are quick in our response. If we are not, we may be lost to God's will as we become weak and ineffective in our effort to follow the leading of His Holy Spirit. There are so many different ways that we need the Lord working in our life, all of us. but also working in our soul. God has a purpose for each one of us. And until that purpose is fulfilled, we have something to do. I was almost late, really late for church this morning, because I thought I had done everything I needed to do yesterday. I had done the laundry. I had done the dishes. The house was clean. I thought, okay, everything's done. And so it's time for me to go to bed. But there was one thing I hadn't done. I hadn't set my clocks ahead. And it wasn't until I got in the car that I saw I was actually an hour later than I thought I was. And all over this country, there are people doing that this morning. Either showing up late or not showing up at all because they realize where they're at time-wise. For each of us, there are so many different ways that we need God working in our life. I don't know if you realize this or have ever thought about it. Again, I already asked the question, I wonder why Peter wanted to walk on the water. I can't imagine a reason. I have tried to think of a reason why he wanted to do that. And I keep coming back to pride. You know, he wanted to be like Jesus. Think about this. Who was Peter? Peter was a fisherman. He should have been able to swim. Have you ever been able to do something and when a moment of panic occurs, you forget that you have the ability to do it? And I wonder if that's what Peter's problem was that morning or that day. It was morning, by the way. So, Peter was a fisherman. Fishermen work on the water. And I would imagine that most of them can swim. I would imagine that Peter could swim. So what was Peter's problem when he began to sink? Now, there may have been actually a problem. And for most of us, life has some real problems. And they are real. They're very real to us because they're in our life. But one of the problems that Peter may have had is he wasn't prepared to go swimming when he was on that boat. And he may have been fully dressed. And his clothes may have weighed him down. And he couldn't do what he thought he could. He couldn't swim. He needed help. And folks, there are times when all of us need help. There are. And it is not a weakness. It's not a failing. It's an opportunity to turn to God and call out to Him and let Him fulfill the need that we have for that moment. There are times for all of us where life drags us down. And we need to be careful as to how encumbered we get with the clothing of the world. It can affect our lives. Many things can become idols because they become between God's will and us. Let's think about where you might be looking right now. What do you have in your vision for the Lord's will in your life? Are you looking at a family situation right now where the loved one is not walking with the Lord and you're concerned about him? Does the loved one even know the Lord? What do you feel in your heart for that loved one? Do you feel despair, or do you feel that it's hopeless and they're going to stay lost? Do as the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. He's able to answer. He's able to meet the need. You know, the devil wants to destroy your joy. If you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, you have love, joy, peace. And the devil wants to destroy that. He's wanted to destroy God's will from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. And he does want to destroy you because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And he will do what he can to destroy you. Many times it is through this thing we call pride. Oh, I can do that. I thought in pride when I went to bed last night that I had everything done. But you see what pride did? It distracted me. It deceived me. And I didn't have everything done. That's just a little thing. But folks, little things can add up to be big things. And so we have to be mindful of what our relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father and the Holy Spirit who lives in us if we know Jesus Christ as Savior. As long as you live, if you are saved, as long as you live, you belong to Jesus Christ, not to yourself, but you belong to Jesus Christ. He is your Lord. He is your master. He is supposed to be the king on the throne of your heart. And if he is not there, you need to put him there. If you have loved ones that are lost, if there are people in your life who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, tell them about him. You may say, well, I've told them and I've told them nothing has happened. Tell them again. No place, no time should you stop. And you might say, well, I'm going to drive them away. They won't come around me. They won't let me talk to them. You have an obligation to tell them. And then you can't save them, but the Holy Spirit can use you to bring conviction to them until they can't stand it anymore and they turn to Jesus. Some parents pray for their children. I've known as long as 40 years. And then the parent goes home to be with the Lord, and the very next year, that child accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. You can't save them, but you are the one to tell them. And we just need to keep telling, keep talking. Tell them every time you get a chance. Don't bully them. Or, you know, in Australia, missionaries are called Bible bashers. And the picture is bashing the lost person over the head with the Bible. And that's not the way to go about it. But we should continue to give it, the Bible, to them through our words as well as through our life, the way we live. And so if you are going to tell people about Jesus, you need to live for him. all the time. Let's just think for a minute about where you may be looking. What do you have as your vision for the Lord's will for your life? What do you have as your vision for the Lord's will for your life? Are you looking at a family situation right now? Does a loved one not know the Lord? What do you feel in your heart for that loved one? Do you feel despair? Or do you feel that it's hopeless and they're going to stay lost? You have to be living the life that the Lord would have you live yourself if you're going to try and share that life with someone else. And what's even more important is that you believe it. Your testimony will begin to fail in the eyes of a lost person the moment that you take your eyes off from Jesus. Your witness will not be effective. Peter became fearful when he began to sink. The Bible tells us that. It may be the same way with each one of us. How do you respond to disaster when it comes along? Peter panicked when he looked around. He started thinking about where he was and what he was going on around him. And many times you and I do exactly the same thing. We panic when we see what's going on around us. I want us all to take note that Peter requested that Jesus allow him to get into that position. Think about that. Peter asked to be where he was. And you and I sometimes do the same thing without realizing the consequences. Without knowing that that is the Lord's will for us or it is not the Lord's will for us. And many times we ask for things, and one of the great blessings of knowing God personally as his child is that many times we don't get the things we ask for. And I'm so glad, because further down the road I can look back and see how that wouldn't have worked out so good. So God blesses us by answering prayer, and God also blesses us by not answering our prayers. And folks, that's a blessing. Now, when Peter got into trouble, we want to learn from this too. When Peter got into trouble, he didn't look back to the boat to see who was going to jump in and save him. He didn't turn back to the boat to try and get a hold of it. I think he was actually out of distance from the boat in order that he couldn't grab it. There was only one person who could save him. And that was Jesus. And he is the only one who can save any of us, can save any of our loved ones. He is the one to do it. And we can ask him to do it. We may not see it. But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can know that we are in the center of his will. With our eyes on Jesus, we can see he's either getting further away and we're going the wrong direction, or he's actually getting closer and we're going the right direction. People, Our job is to walk with Jesus for as long as he gives us life. That's our job. There's no other job out there. Well, there are other jobs, but they're not in the center of his will. And that's where we want to be. The devil is going to try and take your joy. He's going to try and take your faith. The devil has a huge supply of discouragement. Boy, he can shovel it out. I mean, he's got shovelfuls of discouragement for all of us. And there are times when you're going to get discouraged. There are times when he's going to try and pile that on your life. Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. I don't like illness or pain. I'm a poor patient. I'll tell you that. I'm a baby when it comes to some things. Illness and physical pain is nothing when compared to grief or sorrow. And some of you folks have been through that. I hope you were able to turn and look at Jesus and let him help you get through it. When I took my eyes off from Jesus, I made it possible for the devil to hit me with everything he's got. And he can crush a person's usefulness for the Lord. He can. And that's his desire. He can do the same thing for you. Now let's just think for a moment. Peter asked Jesus to empower him to walk on the water. Remember this. Peter asked Jesus to empower him to walk on the water. And again, I wonder what Peter had in his mind to do when he got to Jesus on the water. He said, "Let me come." And Jesus said, "Come." Now, Jesus already knew because he's God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Jesus already knew exactly where Peter was going to be when he would take his eyes off from Jesus and look at the waves and the wind and begin to sink. And you know what I find one of the best parts of this true story? Jesus was right where he needed to be to reach out and grab Peter. And he is right where he needs to be for you to reach out and grab you. Because he loves you. Because he's your Savior. What a Savior! What a Savior. He loves you enough to be where he needs to be to help you. And it's your fault if you don't call out like Peter did, "Lord, save me." Or, "Lord, help me." And I can assure you, by personal experience, by the Word of God, that if you call out to him for help, he's going to be there. He's going to give you what you need. It's not going to come from you. Oh, it may come through the Holy Spirit within you, but he's going to be where he needs to be. always, unless you go so far astray that he can no longer be close. It's up to us. It is up to us. Our choice. I have to admit that during these last few days, I've taken my eyes off from Jesus. And every time that I did that, I sank into overwhelming grief. And the devil loves to incapacitate us. When I call out to Jesus or to God or to the Holy Spirit, they're always there. It's the same for you, for each one of you. No matter what it is, whether it's grief or tribulation of some sort or illness, no matter what it is, they're there for you when you call out to them. I have this one statement. Isn't it awesome? I don't use that word very often, but isn't it awesome to be his child? It is. It's awesome. And to be able to be close enough to him to have him save you when you cry out. That's the way that Peter experienced Jesus that day. Jesus must be our life and our guide in all that we do and what we plan to do. I trust that when you need him, that you will find him always there and available to you. You will experience great difficulty if this is not your position in him. So I pray that he will be the true Lord of your life. Father, thank you for loving us so much. We can't even begin to realize how far you have gone for us, how you have made preparation for us. Father, may we do your will. May we live in the center of that will. And Father, once again, if there is someone here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, may they, in the privacy of their home or wherever they may be later today, call out to thee, and Father, come to know him. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in all of our lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.